Every year, around the beginning of November, I begin to reflect how the current year went. These reflections aren't an opportunity to dump on myself and be angry about all the things that I didn't make happen. Instead, it's an opportunity to celebrate what worked and what didn't during the year that I'm in right now. And then what I do is I evaluate how can I get better results during the upcoming year. There's no point in my mind to racing like crazy person to try to make all these grandiose things happen in the last 6 to 8 weeks of year. Like, that's just insanity. So I don't do that. Instead, one of my favorite things to do is to create a vision board. Yes, I'm woo-woo, but there's nothing woo-woo about having a clear vision of what you want to make happen in your life. There's nothing worse than not knowing what you want for yourself. And for me, that feels like treading water and not knowing which direction is the shore. It's exhausting. Let's avoid that and help you move towards the life that you want during the upcoming year. Now it's time to create a kick-ass vision board for the year to come. I'm a huge fan and affiliate of Elite Blog Academy and the amazing community that Ruth Sukup has created to support EBA. If you're thinking about starting your first blog or revitalizing your website during the upcoming year, check out EBA today. I've also included a link to the 120 awesome blog post ideas resource that she's created to get you started on creating new content for your site. Also, make sure to grab my resource, Do It Ugly Today. It's a free course on how to get started with your blog, podcast, book, or more without spending a ton of money. Text Do It Ugly to 44222 to get started today. Get deeper into this episode. Do you even know what a vision board is? I was surprised because there are a lot of people that I've talked to and they're like, I don't get what you're talking about. So I want to just very briefly mention what it is. And basically, this is my quick and dirty definition. It's a visual representation of what you would like to have happen in your life. That simple. A vision board, in my view, is also basically a starting point. How you get to the end, which basically are your goals, is something that you need to have some time to craft out and consider and kind of work towards. But what does all that mean? For me, putting together a vision board is almost like a meditation. I actually spend several weeks reflecting on what did and did not work for me during the current year. I say current year because I'm typically working on the next year's vision board at the end of the year that I'm currently in. So at the time that I'm recording this show, it's actually the end of 2019, and I've already begun really reflecting on the things that I would like to have happen, I would have liked to have happen, didn't. And I'm just kind of looking at my list of what I wanted to make happen in 2019, taking notes, and then that way I can figure out what I'm going to take action on in the upcoming year. So for me, my vision board gives me the opportunity to dream as big as I possibly can. Because honestly, if I don't dream big for myself, then who will? And so for you, if you're thinking about putting together a board like this, I would strongly encourage you to dream big. So dreaming big is defined by you. For me, it could be something whimsical, like I would love to be in some way, shape, or form in the upcoming Miami Vice reboot. I swear it's coming. I heard that Vin Diesel is in charge of it. Hey, Vin, it's your girl, Michelle. I would love to be in one of the episodes. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. I would like to play a love interest, if possible, or bad guy, bad girl, bad woman. And that's actually on my list. Similar to the year when I wanted to be in a music video. I ended up being in a music video. Unfortunately, I could no longer mention which video it is because I can't mention the artist anymore. Ugh, so annoying. And for a good reason, like I'm not going to mention this. But the year that I wanted to be in a music video, I kept putting down I wanted to be in a music video. And then I was. So same thing. I would like to be in the Miami Vice reboot. I would also like to meet Jason Momoa in a purely platonic way where I could meet one of his cousins. I feel like, universe, you can help me with that because I am not a homewrecker. And also, I cannot compete with Lisa Bonet. I'm fabulous, but she's Lisa Bonet. Anywho, oh, actually, she's also besties with her ex, Lenny Kravitz, who, actually, this is a story I'm going to share with you. So a few years ago, one of my best friends came to Denver to visit me. And usually when my friends come over to Denver, especially if they're coming from overseas, I'll do something fun with them. So I'll have a surprise. That trip, the surprise was I had tickets for Lenny Kravitz. And we go to the show. Unfortunately, my friend had altitude sickness, which was really sad because her job had her fly out to Aspen first and then to Denver. So if you're coming from the UK, which she was, then she went to Aspen, then she went to Denver. It was like a recipe for disaster. Anyway, she ended up getting the worst case of altitude sickness, and we're at the concert. But the thing about the concert is we were in a balcony. So I've never had tickets this good since then, but we're sitting in the balcony, and the entire show, Lenny Kravitz is singing to us to the point where people started to look at us because he kept singing to us. And I was just like, oh my God, it's so awesome. And my friend is like, practically curled up into a ball because she's just so sick. She's dizzy and sick and she has this pounding headache. Totally not any other fault other than Denver has, you know, it's a high altitude. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, I'm totally excited. Anyway, at the end of the concert, there's this giant scrim behind Lenny and his band. And they show my friend and I on the back. And at this point, everyone's like, who are those girls? And I'm like, I don't know, but that's my future husband. So I'm going to just throw that on my vision board too. I am not Brazilian. I'm American. He tends to favor Brazilians, but you never know. I was cute enough once for him. I could be cute enough again. Just saying. Back to the show. Anywho, here's the thing. When you're putting together your board, let's talk about the practical stuff, like the actual nuts and bolts of putting together a good board. Now, I personally use a cork board that is around 2 feet by 3 feet. You could also create a digital board using Pinterest, where you just create different boards based on the different parts of your life that you're focused on, or you could even get a digital picture frame. I've included a link in the show notes where you can kind of check out what I'm talking about, where you could have specially picked photos that scroll through, and then that way throughout the day you can kind of look at that and be inspired by what you have in that picture frame. You need to get some, if you're going to go the old school way like I do, don't forget to get old magazines from your friends and family or your local thrift store, scissors, thumbtacks, and also a piece of paper and a pen or your laptop, because you're going to want to have your vision board concepts, ideas, that kind of thing in more than one place. So not only do I have a vision board that I have set up, I also have a Google Doc with my list of things that I'm working towards. Now, before you do anything, I need you to ask yourself the following questions, plural, because the actual crafting of your board is the easiest part of the process. The first thing is, did you set yourself up to succeed or fail this year with your goals? Did you have a clear idea of the type of action you needed to take in order to achieve your goals? Do you have too many or too few goals that you've set up for the upcoming year? I feel like I could have had 5 fewer goals for 2019. Am I afraid to fail or succeed? Now, that's an important question, because if you're afraid to fail, then the kind of pressure that you put on yourself is very different than if you're afraid to succeed, because you might not put enough pressure on yourself to do the work that you need to succeed. Real talk, what is your capacity to take the action needed in order to make these things happen? There's a certain level of energy that you have on a daily basis, and that energy helps to propel the action that you need to take, or actions. And I found that there were certain things that I did this year that killed my energy, like that really affected my capacity. So that was something that caught me off guard. And an example of that was I finished running my Money on the Mountain retreat. It literally killed me for October. Like, I was so tired for that month. And it wasn't really a physical tired. It was just mentally, I was just done. And that affected other things that I was working on, like my writing that I do or pitching for new clients, things like that. I just wasn't able to take action. I was just tired. Now I'm not. And so I'm noticing already that I'm a lot more focused on the things that I'm trying to do because I have the actual capacity to do them. But I think it's important to ask yourself, do I have the capacity to do the stuff that I'm trying to do? The other thing is, are you excited about the goals that you've set? Are you terrified? Or do you feel like you're following someone else's life script? When I decided to take the leap from my 9-to-5, it was after years and years of meditating, praying, and thinking about what I wanted my life to look like. And I spent a lot of time worrying about what it would be like to do something that was so different from what other people were doing. But eventually, I just felt like I had to be true to myself. So when you're putting things on your board, you have to be true to yourself and not be as focused on what other people want from you. Once you've done the soul searching, it's time to put that board together. The idea is that you're crafting a literal vision of your current and future life through images and words that will propel you towards action. Because I use a cork board, I cut my pictures out and then add them to the board with flat silver thumbtacks. Again, if you're not crafty, just do it on Pinterest or use a digital picture frame. There actually are websites as well where you can do it digitally, so it's up to you. And there might even be apps. So there's a lot of different ways to facilitate this process. Now you're wondering, like, how does this work? Well, here's an example of how powerful a vision board can be. The year before I went to Australia and Hawaii, after I quit my job, I had images of Hawaii and Australia, not only on my vision board, but also I had candles that I purchased. I always watched shows about these locations. I would talk about it with people who came from those locations. So, like, maybe I met a random Australian and I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. I think I'm going to, you know, I'd really like to visit Australia. What are things you can tell me about it? And I just did things that always fostered that excitement and kept that place alive in my mind. Eventually, my actions were consistent with the vision that I had to visit those two places. In fact, I've used this process for travel actually pretty consistently, and it always has worked, always. Now it's time to use that process for making more money. That's a big area of focus for 2020, but I will actually talk about that in a recap episode that's coming in December. So I'm going to recap how things went, but not in this show. I forgot to mention this at the beginning of the show. I tend to focus on different aspects of my life in terms of, like, what I put on the vision board. So, for example, I'll focus on health and wellness, love, family, and friends, professional life, money, and quality of life. You may find that you want to really focus on just two areas of your life during the upcoming year or all of the areas of your life. Just be careful not to overwhelm yourself with goal fatigue. Let's be clear. You're on a journey, and your vision board acts as a roadmap of sorts towards your end result. But you also have to accept that you may not get all the results that you're working towards, and you might not achieve them. And that's okay. Like, that's just life. Like, that's how life sometimes happens. Maybe now isn't the time for some of the things that you want for yourself. You have to make your peace with that and work towards what is supposed to happen. Once your board is finished, you need to have it somewhere where you can look at it every single day. In my case, it's in my bedroom. I wake up, I see it. And you can also take a picture of it or a little video, have it on your phone. That way you can always look back at it and reflect on it. And that's the other reason why I have a Google Doc, because I can open up the doc and see what I've done and what I haven't done. Finally, do you use a vision board? What type? What did or didn't work for you during previous years? This is a short episode. I also have a resource that I've connected to in this post in the show notes called How to Create a Vision Board That Will Change Your Life. It's a little more robust, if you will, in terms of, like, the ins and outs of putting your board together. You can go to the following link to get to the show notes, and that is How to Create a Kick-Ass Vision Board.